Jeff, if you have your Bibles tonight, if you'll take them, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. And over the next few weeks, we'll be taking just a few moments, just for a little while. We'll try to give some time at the end of each of our services for a little bit of fellowship. We don't always have time to do that in our schedule. And so we'll be looking over the next few weeks at a section that is very familiar to most of us who are here on a Sunday night. We'll be talking tonight and over the next few weeks about Philippians chapter 2. Especially, we'll be looking at verses 5 through verse number 9. But tonight I want to introduce this to us, and we'll learn tonight the importance. We'll start to think about how Paul lays out not only for the Philippian church, but also for First Baptist Church Dixon. We're here to hear God's word here. What the Bible has to say to us about having the mind of Christ, thinking like Jesus, having an attitude in us that is a Christ-like attitude. Paul writes, therefore, he's drawing a conclusion. He said in chapter 1, verse 21, very famous verse, to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. So he reminds us of that motto that is ours as followers of Jesus, to live, for me to live the rest of my life. Now, this is the badge of discipleship. This is the motto. So you want to be a follower of Jesus? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which to choose. Such sweet words from Paul. I'm hard pressed from both directions, living for Christ in the world, dying and being with the Lord. I'm hard pressed, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. So before we read these words, bow with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day we have had. We're grateful for all that you have done for us today. Today, we've had the opportunity to come, be together in fellowship, to encourage one another, to experience the privilege of fellowship with God's people and fellowship with you. And we've experienced the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. What a privilege. We are the privileged ones. We are the blessed ones. I pray that tonight, as we take just a few moments to look at some very familiar words, you would help us, Holy Spirit, to focus our minds. We have to do our part. We're so distracted. We're so filled with cares and worries. We are so weak, but you can be strong in us. May we all be encouraged tonight. And over the next few Sunday nights, as we consider the importance of our personal Christian responsibility to have the same mind and attitude of the Lord Jesus toward others. Help us to truly understand it, Lord, and help us to put it into practice. May my words honor Jesus tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we read these famous words, Philippians chapter 2. I'll begin reading in verse number 1 through 4 because it really does serve as an introduction. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, If any affection and compassion make my joy complete, by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. So at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So Paul begins by reminding the Philippians, as I want to remind us tonight, of some wonderful things that happen among God's people. Encouragement. If there is any encouragement, First Baptist Church, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if there is any affection toward one another and compassion, be of the same mind and maintain the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So Paul's call is for us to seek to be like Jesus. These are characteristics of the Lord Jesus. Encouragement in Christ. That's what happens when we gather as God's people. Encouragement. Consolation of love. Love, loving other people, and there's an encouragement that comes with that, and a fellowship that we have. We all have the Holy Spirit, and yet there is this commonality of how the Holy Spirit works, and there is fellowship. There is koinonia is the word. There is this experience of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and affection and compassion. And it's among all of God's people, not just for your special friends and my special friends. It's true and representative of the church. If we want to see those kinds of things, Paul says, make my joy complete by, listen, this is important. Sometimes Paul describes our differences because it's a part of how we're made in the body of Christ. But sometimes Paul talks about our sameness. Have this same mind. Be of the same mind. Maintain the same love. United in spirit, intent on one purpose. Be like-minded. That's really what this Greek word has in it. Be like-minded. Have the same kinds of minds. Have the same mindedness. Have the same way of thinking. Have the same love. So these things, this encouragement and this consolation of love and this fellowship that we enjoy and affection and compassion and joy, they come, this same mind, same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. He goes on to describe doing nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. And then he draws us to these words, but with humility of mind. He again uses this same word when he talks about the Lord Jesus in verse 8. He humbled himself. There must be a humbling of ourselves. There must come the time when we find ourselves understanding that conceit and pride and having our own way are childish, selfish, old flesh ways. But to be like Jesus, we don't do anything in our marriage. We don't do anything in our jobs. We don't do anything in church from selfish or empty conceit. But we have a mind. We have the divine humility of Jesus. We regard another as more important than ourselves, what they need. We don't just merely look out for personal interests, but we look out for the cares of others. And we read these words, and it's very important for us to see this because these four verses help us to understand this beautiful picture of how we're to be as God's people together. And then he quickly says, have this attitude. The things he's describing in verses 1-4 are the characteristics of a Christ-like mind. Have this attitude. This Greek word for attitude in verse 5 has to do with have this opinion in yourself. Have this set way of thinking. Make this your attitude in all that you do. Because it was the attitude of the Lord Jesus. So I want to talk to you just for a few moments, and I won't be long tonight. I want to talk to you tonight about the divine attitude of humility. The divine attitude of humility. And over the next few weeks, because these words are so important to us, we'll take them phrase by phrase. And we'll continue to draw our attention back to verse 5. So have this attitude, church. That means that it's possible for you to change your attitude. It means it's possible by the help of the Holy Spirit to have this mindset. It doesn't come and go based on how well you slept. It doesn't come and go based on who you're with. It becomes the common way in which you carry yourself and express yourself and think. We read in verse 6, and I'll deal with the first two phrases tonight, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard, and that's another mind word, he did not consider is the word. This Greek word. He did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. Or your Bible may read, he considered it robbery. And we'll talk about that in a moment. How often do we think about humility as divine? We often think that it's something given to us because of our raging pride. We need humility. But actually, we discover that Jesus Christ, in this magnificent mysteriousness of the Godhead, you see, we believe one God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And while the Lord Jesus, what did Jesus say? I'm talking about this on Wednesday nights with our people as we've been studying the book of Hebrews. Jesus said, I have come from the Father and I go back to the Father. There is this great and grand mystery of one God who has revealed himself uniquely in persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. We talk about this whole thing of the begottenness of the Son. I want you to think about humility and recognize that it first is found in the Lord Jesus. It's a divine thing. The divine attitude of humility. But it becomes a very human thing because our Lord although he existed in the form of God. This word, the form of God, reminds us of the glory of Jesus Christ he shared with the Father. In fact, let me take you to two places in your Bible quickly. John chapter 1. These are very familiar words to most of us on Sunday night, but they describe being in the form of God. It is expressing the internal character of God. What did John say in that amazing verse in John 1:14? And the Word, speaking of Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now this is a personal testimony of John and an eyewitness. We saw what? We saw His glory. The only one that you speak of who has glory is God. We saw His glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father. See, He's coming from the Father, yet He's of the Father. This is the mystery beyond our minds. Full of grace and truth. John says further, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, you see, the Son and the Father and the Son. This is the mystery. He has explained the unseen God. So we read tonight these magnificent words, the Lord Jesus is fully God, present everywhere, all-knowing, all-powerful, full of glory, full of magnificence. He existed in the form of God in glory and magnificence and majesty. Hebrews chapter 1 is the other place I'd like for you just quickly to turn because it is such a great summary of these things. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse number 1, God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son. Listen. Whom He appointed heir of all things. Jesus is the inheritor of all things. Through whom He made the world. Jesus created the world order. And the universe and all that we know. He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. Even though He existed, pre-existence of the Lord Jesus, you see, Jesus was never created. He was the eternal, begotten Son of God. He is fully God. He is the exact representation of His nature and He upholds all things by the word of His power. Only God does that. When He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty. He's up above in the majesty of the highest heights. Having become as much better than the angels, He has inherited a more excellent name. His name is not just Jesus. His name is the Son of God. Let's go back now and think about this divine attitude of humility in verse 6. We're called upon to have this attitude in ourselves. I can only do this in my relationship with God. You can only do this in your relationship with God. But we're called to take upon ourselves the divine attitude of humility. We're called upon, Paul makes it clear, this is a lifelong commitment to an attitude of humility of mind. To have the mind of Christ is to have an attitude of humility that carries you through all of your relationships with other people. So we see first, He existed, pre-existed in the form of God, although He existed eternally, He did not regard equality with God a thing to hold on to. This is the picture we see the beautiful picture of Jesus now coming to this world, and not grasping on to his position and authority and glory and majesty. He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He did not consider his place of position as the pre-existent, eternal Son of God, begotten of God, to be anything he holds on to. If I would have the divine attitude of humility, what do I hold on to that makes me feel important? What do I hold on to that makes me have status? What do I hold on to that makes me feel superior? What do I hold on to that makes me seem like I'm more powerful, more smart, intelligent than others? What is it you hold to? What is it do I hold to? There are things that we grasp that we don't want to lose because they give us a sense of what we would try to call worth, but they actually make us proud. And we learn in this divine attitude of humility three very important lessons. There is a beauty and power and purity in the humility of Jesus Christ our Lord, who, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard. This is a matter of thinking. We must think this way. We must be willing, if we're going to have the attitude of Christ in ourselves, to regard, to consider, to make a mental decision that we will not hold to anything that brings to our lives a sense of pride, importance, rank, position over others. There's beauty and purity and power in the self-humiliation of Jesus Christ. And his example of self-humiliation is given to all of us. And we must take it upon ourselves. The divine attitude, secondly, of humility is a state of mind. Have this attitude in yourselves in all that you do. You don't just get humble at church. When all the circumstances of life rain in on you and push you and seek to destroy the toys that you hold on to that make you proud, remember, this is an opportunity for self-humiliation. We don't talk about self-humiliation. That sounds cruel. But it's the Jesus way. The divine attitude of humility is a state of mind. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, what greater glory is there? And to be God, he did not regard. He made a consideration as he was incarnated, as he came into this world, that he would not regard equality with God, something he'd hold on to. And finally, the highest honor in the Christian life comes in extreme self-humiliation. Everyone else is better than us. May I read it again? Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. That must be our rule. I must make that my rule as your pastor. I must make that my rule with Pat in my marriage and with my children. I must make that my rule in my relationships with other people and whatever endeavors I'm involved in. Do nothing. Do nothing. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. This is the practice of extreme self-humiliation. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Look around. The most important people sit around you, not in your chair. Look around. They're all around you. Those people who give you such trouble that you wish would quit acting like the devil at work and live for Jesus, but they're lost. They're more important than you. The dear people who serve you at the drive-thru window, they're more important than you. The highest honor comes in extreme self-humiliation. So I read again and we'll close. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if there's any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard. You see, that's a mental thing. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Don't merely look out for your own personal interests and your family, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Jesus Christ in extreme humiliation. Lord Jesus, you have given us the example, and Paul has called us to do this. We must practice what we hear. We must have the attitude of Jesus and practice extreme self-humiliation. We ask ahead of time for power, because as soon as we start speaking to one another and as soon as we leave this place, we will be confronted with whether we will choose to live a life of pride and conceit and selfishness, or whether we will practice the attitude of extreme self-humiliation, the divine attitude of humility. While we have our heads bowed, perhaps you're here tonight and you need to make some kind of commitment to Jesus. We open this time of invitation if anybody needs to be saved. Todd's here with me. We'll meet with you. We'll meet with you as long as we need to. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Anybody here need to be saved? Anybody here need to join this church? Whatever you may need to do tonight, we invite you to do it. We wait for you to do whatever the Lord calls you to do. If you'll step forward and come. Yes, thank you, brother. God bless you. Anybody else needs to come tonight? We wait for you to come. And while we sit, let's pray. Lord, help me to have the attitude of Christ. We wait just a moment. Just another moment. Todd, would you come and introduce this brother who's coming tonight? Thank you for listening tonight. May the Lord bless you. Todd, why don't you introduce him? We'll close our service, and we hope you have a good week.
Well, church, it's my privilege to present to you tonight. David, please come forward. He and I have the privilege to talk together this week, and he wants to move his membership from a sister Baptist church here to First Baptist. So if you rejoice in David's decision to come and join with this family of faith, just raise your hand and say amen. Welcome, brother. Glad to have you. Give him applause now. Now, you're going to want to go home, but I'd really encourage you to come by and just shake this man's hand and tell him you're glad that he's joined First Baptist. And you guys have a great week, okay?